Hey everybody, this is Ed Pogue with My Figure Universe, and this week my guests on the show are Starship Edsel. But I'm gonna have each one of them introduce themselves individually and tell you who they are. The floor is yours. Would everyone like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Anthony LeBlanc, and I'm the director and executive producer of the show.
Well,
My name
hello,
is
Anthony.
Dylan Schaefer.
My name's Dylan Schaefer. I am one of the producers and creators of the show, and I also play Commander Russell T. Stillwell. Greetings.
Hi, my name's Keely Smith. I play Lieutenant Viale Parr. She's the Chief Security and Tactical Officer on the ship. She's also a Trill, unjoined, not bitter about it, absolutely bitter about it. If you hear any little noises, it's because my daughter's with me today. So she's just sitting right here.
Hi, I'm Bernadette Santos-Schwegel. I play Cadet Cornelia Hardstone, who is apparently a genius with an attitude.
Also, just to be clear, Keely's daughter is technically also a character in the ship.
Oh, okay. Well, and my youngest guest ever. So it's going to be a hard record to beat. I'm curious about the Edsel. How did the name come about? How was Edsel chosen as a name for this? And I assume, would the proper terminology be improv group?
It's a good question. Let me answer both of them. I'll start with your first. Starship Edsel was created in the 90s, sort of during Star Trek's golden age, by Brandon Brailovsky, who is the head writer on the show. And he actually created it as a LARP, a live action role play game that he toured to conventions around the country. So the original idea of it was that it was a every participant would be assigned a character, and they would live out a day in the life on Starfleet's worst ship. That was basically how it was created. And Brandon ran the show as a LARP for years, and one day, Starship Edsel is part of Otherworld Theater Company, which is Chicago's sci-fi fantasy theater company. And Brandon came into one of our shows we were producing, and we got talking after the show at the theater, and he gave me his email address because he wanted to get more involved, and his email address was Starship Edsel. And I asked him about it, and he told me, and I thought, well, we've been looking for a Star Trek comedy show. This seems like it might be the ticket. So I met with Brandon separately. I pitched to him doing a partially improvised, partially written improv show based on his LARP, and the rest, as they say, was history. As far as the improv goes, the show is was originally conceived of as being sort of a mixture with storylines written and improvised dialogue. So we consider it to be sort of closer to like a mixture of devised theater and sketch comedy than straight improvisation. You know, what you whatever you want to call us works for us.
Yeah, I'd say it's kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm meets Star Trek is kind of the way it kind of works, pretty much. So where
Well, I
there's like a
love it.
loose idea of like what the plot might be sometimes, but we're improvising around that and make discoveries, and it can change things depending on how that gets improvised. And then there's a group of people who are on the creative writing team who take that information that got improvised and tried, and then augment each new episode using the discovered information as well. So
We've had another guest beam in. Would you like to introduce yourself?
yes, hello. My name is Carlos Rivera. I play Counselor Jerst, the Klingon counselor as part of the officer exchange program assigned to the Edsel.
You look so different without the glasses.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm right here.
There we go. Oh, now I recognize you. It's like Superman and Clark Kent.
That's right.
Well,
nice to meet you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. My name is Ed, and welcome to the show. I'm asking some questions. The second question I had is for each of you. I'd like, let's start with Bernadette and go around. What is your Star Trek story?
My Star Trek story, like my character Star Trek story, right?
Actually, no. What brought you into like Star Trek? What is, what's, you know, your likes, your, what brought you into the universe?
I honestly, I didn't really have a choice. My parents are huge, huge Star Trek nerds, so I wasn't allowed to watch TV growing up, but we were allowed to watch Star Trek. So I did all the original series, all the next gens, and I just really grew up with it, and it's stuck ever since.
Well, I can't argue with not having a choice. I tried that with my kid. It didn't work out very well. And how about you, Keely?
Sorry, she's getting a little bit fussy.
Oh, no, okay.
In similar fashion to Bernadette, my mom was a huge Star Trek fan. Oh, it's okay, honey. so my mom was a huge Star Trek fan, and that's kind of where it all started. We watched it as kids growing up, me and my sister with my mom. It was, you know, a regular weekly occurrence. My mom got started on it because, you know, when she was a kid, when the original series came out, she watched it with her mom. And then when TNG came out and Deep Space Nine and Voyager, we watched it with her. So it's kind of like a family tradition in a way. And like I remember in 95, because I was old enough, you know, when Voyager came out, my mom was so excited. She's like, there's a new Star Trek show. So that was the first one I got to watch from beginning to end, all the way through the, you know, TNG and Deep Space Nine. I was a little too young. And so I had to rewatch those, you know, but I had favorite episodes that my mom would, you know, record on VHS, and we legally, of course, because that's, you know, right. And we'd rewatch favorite episodes and stuff in the house. And that's kind of where it all began. And then as an adult, I rediscovered my love for it. Once it was available on streaming services, I never was able to watch the entire series because my mom didn't have them all recorded. So I was able to sit down and actually go through my own discovery of watching all of them from beginning to end myself. So
that's awesome.
It's okay, honey. Yeah, you want to watch them too, don't you?
My baby's not a fan of Star Trek, clearly.
No.
It's has some a generation. Strong Star Wars opinions. Skip the next generation.
Oh, there you go. All right, who would like to go next? Anyone?
I'll go. Let's see. I don't remember like why I started watching Star Trek. Like I saw bits and pieces of the episodes of the original series, of course, because they were on syndication at the time. And I don't remember when I started Next Generation, but that's one of the shows that I watched, you know, pretty much the whole thing as it aired. You know, went to a convention, dressed up as Data once for a Halloween. I was, and then after that, you know, I remember going to the Planet Hollywood in my city for the premiere of Voyager. And my friend, his aunt, dressed him up in an entire Q French judge outfit. And I wasn't, I was just dressed in regular clothes. He was dressed to the nines. And we went to Planet Rock to see Voyager, the premiere. And it was not that good, you know. Wasn't a big fan of the first season or two. They've grown on me though. Voyager's actually one of those shows that's like comfort food. I really enjoy like just chilling with that crew. You know, saw DS9 as well from top to bottom, beginning to end. And like most of the Trek shows, the first season, or, well, DS9 kind of started pretty strong. And the other two, you know, weak first season and a half, but they found their way. Went all the way through to Enterprise, and like it got good near the end. You know what I like about Trek? I like that everyone there it has a job that they're really good at and enjoy. And that's like my biggest pull. It's not necessarily space stuff. It's not any of that. It is that, hey, they all look like they're having fun with their jobs. I hope I have a job that I really enjoy doing and I'm really good at, more than anything else.
That's a really good way of putting it. I like that. I never thought of it like they were all having fun. I'm probably going to look at it more that way now.
They're all excellent at what they do.
Good
They
point.
have job security, which is part of that utopian future. You don't need money, but job security.
Something to contribute. Anthony, would you like to tell us your Star Trek story?
Yeah, so for me, it was so neither of my parents were into it, but I mean the very first thing I ever watched of Star Trek actually was the animated series because I was an avid Nickelodeon watcher, and for a while Nickelodeon would show it in the afternoons, is like pre them having like Clarissa Explains It All and that kind of stuff. They'd always show stuff from other places, so the first time I ever saw Star Trek was that way. So I remember then my brother was a big nerd, and we started watching Doctor Who together in the afternoon. And so whenever Next Generation came out as a show, we actually, as a family in our hometown, it was something that came on after the news. It wasn't in the afternoon. So we would like the news would come on, then we'd watch Next Generation, and then we watched Showtime at the Apollo after that. So that was kind of like the family. I got to stay up late to
As you
watch
do.
Star Trek. Yeah, versus like, a lot of people were comedians with Saturday Night Live. For me, it was Star Trek. And I also, it kind of then increased when I got to third grade and I had a teacher who also was a friend of our family who was this uber Trekkie. And like, she bought me stuff for Christmas or like things like after I was out of school in her class, she would always buy Star Trek stuff for me.
Wow.
So a lot, growing up as a kid, I had a lot of like the Generations poster was on my wall, and like all kinds of like fun stuff was all over my room because of that. And it all came from Nickelodeon deciding to show the animated series in their syndication,
You are the
push.
only person I've ever met that has said the same thing as me, that you found Star Trek the Animated Series from Nickelodeon. That's how I saw it too. No one else. I appreciate that. I do. Dylan, I know you've told the story of the Edsel, but can you tell us your story?
Yeah, so my entire family, basically on my dad's side, is Star Trek fans. So I started watching it when I was really young with my dad. In fact, I remember when I was 4 years old, watching it on TV with him. I think, let's see, it must have been an episode of Deep Space Nine that was airing live. And I remember he told me I had to go to bed, and I was very upset about this. So I realized, however, that I could, from the floor of my bedroom where my door was, I could see into my parents' bedroom just enough to see the TV. So I laid down on the floor, right in the doorway of my bedroom, watching the episode. And my dad even at one point got up and walked past and didn't notice me there. It started very young for me. My grandma is a big Star Trek fan, and I often tell people that she had the entire original series on Betamax
Wow.
tapes. And she had she was one of those people who thought that the Betamax quality was better than VHS, so she didn't switch to VHS until like she absolutely had to. And actually, by then, I think DVDs were out. So, she switched. I think she went right from, Betamax to DVD. And I would borrow those, beta tapes from her and watch them at home. And then similarly, I was watching The Next Generation on syndication. We had a house. I grew up in Detroit, and we had a house, a vacation house up in northern Michigan. And we had a recorded VHS tape up there that I don't know if any of the rest of you remember this, but there was a TV special that aired right before All Good Things, that was
I
the
remember.
top five. Yeah, the top five Next Generation episodes hosted by Jonathan Frakes. So we had that on a VHS tape recorded, and it was just one of the things we would always watch when we went up, went up to our house up north. So, I grew up with it. My dad got me into the action figures and the models, and so I started building the models. I had a ton of action figures. I had the Bridge playset,
Lucky.
and I had the Bridge playset, the Main Engineering playset, the Transporter Room playset. I think I had every ship that Playmates made. I had like every Playmates, toy ship. And it actually is kind of what got me into theater and acting, because I would, with my friends, pretend like we were doing episodes of Star Trek, in my living room. I would set it up like the Bridge, and the TV would be the view screen. And I just really enjoyed it. And that got me into, sort of that kind of playing pretend, both with my friends and then with the action figures and the play sets, got me more and more into theater. And that's kind of how I ended up going that route.
Wow. I sound like I want to go over to your house in the past and play because you had all the cool toys.
I still have them. I still have them.
Oh. See, I have all of mine too. I just didn't have those. Okay,
We
now.
still have ours too.
Oh.
My sister was even a bigger Star Trek fan than me, because she was a couple years older. And she was the one that wanted the toys, like for Christmas and stuff. So we had the transporter set, we had the bridge set, like Dylan was saying, we played with those too as kids, and we had our own phasers and tricorders and all that stuff. And we had several of the ships too. We had like a Romulan ship. I think we had a Klingon ship too. And my
Wow.
mom saved those because when we would get older and not want things anymore, my mom was always like, "You'll want to have these one day. One
Well,
day
that's a
you'll want
good
them
parent.
back."
You don't hear
And
that very
she always held on
often.
to everything. I still have my Teddy Ruxpin because she's got it somewhere.
Oh, my wife is going to be jealous of that.
Also,
You
I
have a
said
Teddy
Dylan's.
Ruxpin? You have a brother that's seen yet?
Also, Dylan's grandmother, 100% correct. Betamax for the
Come
win.
back to the Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin, man. Okay, now most of the what you have mentioned before a little bit that it's partly improv, partly scripted with what you do on stage. The improvisation, improvation, the improv part. Has there ever been a suggestion from the crowd that has been so wrong or difficult for you to figure out a way to work in? I'd love to hear.
I see Bernadette freaking out, and I think that's because she couldn't figure out how phasers worked last week.
No, that wasn't an audience suggestion. That wasn't an audience suggestion. That was, we're not gonna talk about it, but what I was shaking my head to was when we did, what was it? We were doing a convention of some sort that was like, I don't remember, but it wasn't Fan Expo, it wasn't C2E2, but we were doing something else. And we were supposed to, like, in the episode itself, we were supposed to go to a convention, like, we're gonna beam down
Oh,
for shore
there was a
leave.
sh that was a show for the Star Trek experience, the Star Trek
Yes,
convention.
yes. And I was su super excited for it because I was like, we have so much room to do stuff with, like, going to a Star Trek convention as people from Star Trek. And then somebody in the audience yelled out Cats the musical, and I think the general vibe backstage was like, what in the world, how are we supposed to do this? We did it, but I just remember being like, of all the things to say, Cats the musical.
Yeah, that was actually a show I played in with them. That was actually the first thing I did with the group. And it was went to an Angeloid Webber planet convention. I did play all of the other Angeloid Webber character things from the other side of the planet because I was a
Wow.
person who did know a lot of the musical theater stuff.
You anybody
know,
else have? Oh, go on, Dylan.
I will say that I actually don't think the way our show is formatted that the audience suggestions have ever caused too much difficulty, save for, you know, maybe some Andrew Lloyd Webber facts. But you know, the way our show works is we start off with a couple of suggestions from the audience in the opening part of the show. And those are suggestions that usually work their way into like the B plot of the show, or they show up in some form, but they don't really influence the overall story that's been created. So for example, you know, we had in a show a couple of weeks ago, the audience suggestion was crows, like, you know, the bird crows. And so the crows manifested themselves in a way that they were sort of ever present in the episode, causing noise and ruckus at inopportune times. And it added to the comedy of the show, but it didn't change the overall, you know, story that we were telling.
Anyone else before I throw in the next question?
It's like a garnish. It was like the crows were like a garnish on the meal that was the show.
And that's a little bit of the thing that will change sometimes from episode to episode, depending on who was the person who created that the structure for that episode. So, you know, some folks will make it where it is a smaller thing through it. Some people will make it a larger function. Like for example, in an upcoming show, we have Carlos is also one of the people who helps create some of those the plot lines for his next show. An entire section of the show is going to be influenced by the, you know, potentially by the suggestion with the idea of like, what's your what's a task that you don't like doing at work or something like that in your life that can become a Kobayashi Maru style thing. So it kind of goes from episode to episode, but we try and make it where the suggestions do become something that it always hopefully augments versus something that can completely destroy a show. But the thing that is awesome about it, and that's why I say Curb is a good example, is that even though we do have that structure, none of the dialogue is prescribed exactly, and it gets all cr and, it, like, and even how we get from point A to point B can change drastically because that part is improvised and has freedom to try out new things or to adjust it to a certain way. And new scenes will show up that aren't even on that thing that was created to help flesh out the rest of the episode.
The one thing I've thought about, I've gone back and I've watched a few performances that are available on YouTube, and I've wondered, okay, how much is structured as to written and improvised and everything else. And I've tried to find, like, was there any spots where, okay, someone has gone off the rails slightly and without any notification to the other person, but I haven't seen it. You all work so co cohesively as a group that I'm not really seeing any spots where there are like someone's confused and didn't know what was going to happen. But has that happened? Has there ever been someone that's gone off the rails slightly and you just really picked up from it?
I don't think so, because I mean we're, you know, as improvisers, we're just trained to yes and build on whatever happens. So, you know, even if something throws you off or you're not expecting it, you're just like, okay, well, this is what we're doing now, so let's do this. Let's follow this through until we get to the end of it, and then we'll go back to the beats or let's interweave this as part of the, this is part of the show now. You know, so I don't think it's really thrown us off, maybe like for a second, but then we recover quickly and adapt to it. We adapt like the Borg.
And you do really well. That,
Borg would be great improvisers.
and you all do really well. Everyone is so amazing. I do want to ask, has there ever been a favorite story? Is there one that has like that you have enjoyed doing so much? Perhaps you've even revisited it.
There have been a few standout episodes, and just for your listeners who maybe haven't had a chance to see the show, I just want to tell you kind of how it works. You know, the show is broken down into seasons, just like regular Star Trek, you know, series. and every season there's some kind of story arc. And so the story arc typically is a season-long arc, and then there are other mini arcs within that that are character-based or, whatever they might be. And the show structure has changed a bit throughout the three seasons. So we started the concept was that we were sort of a Deep Space Nine-like show in that the ship was in permanent parking orbit of a vacation planet and called Atlantis. And that was actually Brandon's original concept of the LARP, is that they were aboard a ship that's only purpose was to give tours of a Starfleet vessel, of an authentic Starfleet ship to VIPs on the station planet. So that's where we started in season one. Season two became of a Voyager spoof, in that we were lost in the elusive fifth quadrant of the galaxy, the Omega Quadrant. Now in season three, we are back in time in the Discovery Strange New Worlds era. So all of the plots, and I can let Anthony and Carlos talk a little bit more on this because they do the writing and I don't. But all of the plots are really designed to be carried through and have callbacks and develop as the show goes along.
And part of the fun too is that we have, especially like this season, we're playing. So I just started working with them at the very end of the of season two, and now working in, with the group for season three. And one of the things that I think is very interesting and fun is that, just like you would on a regular set or a world in which you're creating a show, we've hidden the creators have hidden some things from that cast. So they don't know things until it shows up, or it shows up in the sheet they get, or maybe at the rehearsal beforehand, or in the show proper. Like, a person might have information that the other cast doesn't know. So that then that is really on stage a true reveal moment, or an honest reaction to those. I think that the one disadvantage that we have is, like, unlike Curb, you can spend all that time in an editing bay and edit down a bunch of takes of stuff to get the, as you improvise something 20, 30 times, we got to do it live in front of an audience. And that's kind of the fun high wire part of it that still makes it where it is an improvised show, even though you have some guidelines to it.
Okay. Bernadette, did you want to add too?
To what was like my favorite show, or to the comment about not telling people some
I'm not
things?
really sure. You seemed like you had something you wanted to say, and I was.
I mean, one of my favorite episodes was in season two when I'm pretty sure it was the captain and the commander, but they got a parking ticket that resulted in either if you didn't pay it, you die. And so like the crew had to like learn law and like do a dramatic court scene. What was one of those like judicial shows that are like reality television? But it was like so funny and everybody was so game.
Judy, Law and
Law
Order.
and Order. Law and Order. It's a really great episode and probably one of my favorites.
Blum blum.
But I'll say that Brendan also is not happy that there's a character that's interacting with her that she doesn't know who it is and wants to know really bad, but
I'm
won't
pretty
be
sure I
told
know who
yet.
it is. I'm pretty sure I know who it is, but nobody's confirming it. And that's like, oh, oh well.
Carlos?
Let's see. What was the question? Sorry.
Do you have any favorite story that you
Hello?
that?
Uh-oh, did I lose you?
No, we're here. We see you.
A running gag that I do is I just like to pick different flavors of gawk from the replicator. And I just randomly pick a flavor. And my guy eats gawk a lot. He's a gawkaholic.
I like it. I like it. Okay, so then I want to know, you have mentioned the theater that you perform at, but let's tell everybody where. Give us say someone's in, Chicago, you're Chicago-based, where would they find you?
So the place to find us would be at the Second City. We actually are doing
Hole in
our
the wall.
show.
Hole in the
Yeah,
wall for their
tiny place. Nobody knows about it.
mom-and-pop of it, no.
So we're at the Second City in the DeMott Theater every Sunday until the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So for the month of October, our shows are at 6, and for the month of November, our shows are at 7:30. And you can get those tickets online. You can get those tickets in person. And then we also, for the folks who can't come to Chicago who are far and away, we do stream the show as well on the Otherworld YouTube channel. So you can check out the show and also check out one cast episode, so you can kind of catch up on things. But the thing that also I think is awesome about our show is that especially for the run now at Second City, we're trying to make sure that if you come to see the show and you've never seen the show before, there'll still be some awesome fun things. You'll enjoy the improv, you'll get it. We're making sure that you can understand what's happening in the episode. But if you've watched the show more or you've come back multiple times, you'll have that added element of seeing the longer story happen. And how it kind of develops over the course of the season.
Okay, I love that. Keely, while you were gone, we were all plotting how to get you out of the broad. Oh, no, not really. No, we were wondering, do you have a favorite story that has been performed with Starship Edsel? Is there a favorite storyline?
Oh. Like if oh goodness, favorite storyline. Yeah, sorry, baby's fussy today. She's real fussy. She just got her DOC band like yesterday, and she's like not used to wearing it, and she's just inconsolable lately. So sorry, it took me a minute.
No problem at all.
Let's see. A favorite, oh, goodness. What other ones has everyone shared already? Because I don't want to do repeats.
You can
Well,
repeat.
yeah, repeat.
Yeah,
It's
I
your
know.
favorite,
Oh gosh, there's so many things that I enjoy. It's hard to like narrow it down. There's certain, running jokes too that I like. Actually, one we haven't done in a little while that I'm missing is we used to go to the holodeck a lot. We don't go to the holodeck as much anymore. I miss Big Fish Adventure. I miss Carlos coming in with his side
Cletus.
character Cletus. Because it's like
Yeah.
one of those, every ship has its holodeck program it likes to go back to, and we had Big Fish Adventure, and we'd show up and Cletus would be there fishing, and it was
That's our
great.
Fairhaven. Big Fish
Yes.
Adventure is our Fairhaven.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
I
sure the
love that.
next convention we do will have it since we have that holodeck. We do have that holodeck episode on deck that might show up at the next convention that we do.
Oh, love that. I love
Yeah.
that. I hope we do, because we haven't been to the holodeck in a while, so I do miss that. I think one of the things that we currently have running that I'm enjoying is a little bit of the rivalry happening between Commander Stillwell and Reyes. Because they're both commanders, except Reyes is commander of the, he's from the 23rd century, and he's joined our ship to kind of keep an eye on us. And they're always kind of trying to one up each other, like we're the same rank, but we don't have the same job. But yet we're always constantly trying to figure out who's the more important person and who ha who's the top, who's on top, and who has. Who can pull rank, whatever, and it's pretty fun. I do enjoy that. I'm also really enjoying Mike and Liam's characters together, where Jimmy V has the Lunarian drive personality Lenny stuck in his head constantly, and their banter is amazing. I enjoy that so much. And I mean, I'd be pretty remiss if I didn't say that I really enjoy that Matt Kawa and I, with our characters, his character Topanga and my character Viale, have been doing the, it's the ship romance on the ship. We're the Tom Paris and B'Elanna Taurus of the Edsel, and the drama, and the we wrote my pregnancy into the show because I showed up pregnant for an improv show, so we had to figure out how to work that in, and
Oversized
it was
jackets.
pretty. Yeah. Well, there was flowers. A couple of jokes that first episode that I showed up pregnant because we took a little break. So between the last episode I was in, I wasn't showing, and then we had a little bit of a break, and then all of a sudden I was 6 months pregnant, and we had to figure out how to explain that. And I really enjoy what the writing team, Anthony, came up with about, like, that when we jumped to the past, we had this weird time bubble that happened, and Topanga's Pon Farr kicked in, and then all of a sudden... You know, we wake up and immediately I'm 6 months pregnant somehow, and we don't remember why. And it was really fun to play. And there's so much more also with that. There's just, I think, you know, Matt and I have been on the show since season one. So season one, season two, season three, there's been more to discover each season with the relationship, more to play with it, and that's been really fun, and Matt and I have a good time with it. And right now we're throwing around baby names for our fake child because we're trying to figure out, like, what would her name be. But we specifically kind of wrote her into the story as a girl because we're, you know, Dylan said something one point about, we should have your daughter on the show, she should make a cameo, and I was like, that would be great. So, you know, My daughter Calista may make her first stage appearance before her first birthday. Who knows?
There you we'll go. See.
Gotta get that SAG card.
No, she's already been on the podcast.
Hello, everyone. This has been a pleasure. Bye.
Oh, thanks for being here.
Hi, Carlos.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure, everybody. Have a good one.
So I wanted to mention a couple things. One, the episode that Bernadette referenced is season 2, episode 12. Okay. It's called Law and Order, Special Edsel Unit. And fun fact, that is the only episode where you can see my nipples. So if you want to see that, that's the episode to see it in.
For the record, that is not why I said it was my favorite episode. Just putting it out there. I had no idea that was part of the show. I don't remember that.
I didn't think that anyone thought that that episode was their favorite for that reason. However, yeah, I was in like a prison jumpsuit that gets like partially torn off of me at one point. So that's why that happened.
Ironically, when I was growing up, my mom always said I was her special Edsel. So, you know. I do want to start wrapping up because I've enjoyed my time with you. But Carlos saying goodbye kind of tells me, all right, maybe we should wrap it up. But before we go, I want you, if you could please tell everyone where they can find you, not physically, but like online, since we've already touched on the physical part, like where can they follow you? And if you want to share, you know, any information, please do. This is the time, and we'll put all the links down below for everybody.
Yeah, I'll go first on that just because I have all the info on hand. So we recently, and Anthony said that, you know, we perform at the Second City every Sunday at 6 p.m., but every Sunday at 6 p.m. is also when we live broadcast the show on YouTube. So just like a real Star Trek episode, we broadcast the show live. And you can find that on Otherworld Theater Company's YouTube channel. In addition to that, we make appearances at conventions. We are working on, there's a Star Trek convention coming up here in Chicago in November, which we're still trying to work out some details for, but hopefully we'll be able to make an appearance there. And then we are going to be at Starbase Indy in Indianapolis. That is the weekend after Thanksgiving, and we're there every year. Okay. We will be performing an episode there. The show, you know, because it is separated into seasons, at the end of our season, we usually take a little bit of a break, and then we come back after a few months. So our third season is set to wrap up right before that Starbase Indy show. And then we're hoping to be able to announce when our fourth season will start, you know, shortly after.
Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Do you would you like to share your personal anything? Anybody you want to follow, or just you want people to leave you alone?
Well, another fun thing is also following Starship Edsel on Instagram. That's also a great way to see things about us. The promos got on there, some videos, any of that kind of information is up there. Yeah,
also, I'm sharing a special preview of our upcoming show this Sunday. So this has not been released to the public yet. You are breaking this news right now, Ed.
Technically, it's in the past, so it's a time travel thing.
Yeah, because
by the time it airs, everyone's gonna be like, "Haven't we seen this?" But
we always list we promote the episodes on Instagram before every episode, and we put up a little promo like this, as well as a little sort of TV guide style explanation for what the episode's gonna be about.
Awesome.
So. Yes, this is the upcoming episode, and we've got several more episodes before we wrap up right before Thanksgiving. So hopefully, if you've got audience in Chicago, we'd love to see you there. Also, message us if you need a discount for tickets, because we have special discounts. But if you can't make it in person, it is free to watch online, and we would love to have Star Trek fans from across the world tuning in.
Oh, agreed. I think everyone should really follow you. It's a wonderful show. Like he says, if you're in Chicago, go see you. I know people in Chicago. I'm going to tell my family. I know they're going to be watching. So it's just a matter of, getting them to listen. But I appreciate everyone's time. I really do. Thank you all so very much for being here and sharing your stories with everyone and promoting Starship Edsel. It's a wonderful, wonderful show. You're all amazing at what you do. And I'm quite thankful for you being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Indeed. And like I said, everyone, please go give them a follow. If you're in Chicago, don't sleep on this. Go see Starship Edsel. Tell them I sent you. That would be great. They sent you. Everyone sent you. And thank you guys, everybody. Just a wonderful, wonderful time. It's been wonderful to meet you. And, live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Bye-bye.
Bye.